This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
The Word of God says that in verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And also, I looked at the fact that anger, you can be angry, okay? Let out the steam, but the sun must not set on that anger. You must wake up the following day and you've given it up to the Lord. Amen. Because one of the things I've found out is that sometimes some people get so angry and they cannot be... I wouldn't say anything. Some people get so angry and they find it difficult to reconcile. And when that happens, it becomes destructive. And I'm going to show you two scriptures in the Bible that will explain what I'm talking about. I also looked at the definition of anger by T. Lou, who says, "Anger is a strong emotion of displeasure caused by some type of grievance that is either real or perceived to be real by a person." And I also looked at the fact that anger makes us think of two things only: defense and attack. Okay? And I looked at the four types of thinking that contributes to anger as discovered by psychologists. That number one was emotional reasoning. Number two was low frustration level. Number three was unreasonable expectations, high demands on people when things do not go their way. And number four, I said, rating of people. Amen. And I also looked at the sources of anger. And I said we had two sources. One was external and the other one was internal. Amen. But today, I want us to look at how you can recognize the symptoms of anger. But I want to read a scripture in the Bible. Let me not read that first. Let me just look at the symptoms. Have you ever thought about it? When you get angry, how do you get... What symptoms do you see in your own self when you get angry? Can anybody? Pardon me? You go red. You feel hot in your face. Any other person? Tensed. Any other person? Some people sweat. Any other person? Your voice. You cry. Amen. So you find out that different people have different way of expressing their anger. Amen. Hallelujah. Different people. Some people unconscious tensing of muscles, especially in the face and neck. Some, they begin to grind their teeth. Some, the breathing rate increases dramatically. Okay. Face turns red, like Wangui said. And I was wondering when she said face turns red, I was thinking, Wangui, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, some people, the face will turn pale. And like some people said, sweating. Some will feel hot or cold. And some will begin to shake in their hands. And then some people, it will be goosebumps. And some, the heart rate will increase. Amen. And I was looking at it, and one of the authors actually break it down into two and says one of them is passive anger, okay? And it can be expressed in the following ways. in secretive behavior, such as stockpiling resentments that are expressed behind people's back. And when I read that, I thought about someone in the Bible by the name Haman in the book of Esther. Can we quickly read it? Esther 3. Praise the Lord. I believe that by the time we finish this lesson, a lot of us will be able to say, I've gotten to that point where I can control my anger. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, now it came to pass, that's Esther 3 verse 4. Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them. These were the people, the servants that were with Mordecai, speaking to Mordecai, unto him that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath. Now, because Haman will go past the gate and Mordecai will not bow down to him, inside there was resentment. And you see, that resentment was bad that he did not just think of destroying Mordecai. He thought of destroying the whole Jew, the Jews that were in that area at that time. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So what is there? The secret behavior. So he's been stockpiling this resentment. He's been putting it in his heart. And there he was planning evil. Do you know that sometimes some of us have secret behavior? When we're angry with people, we cannot say it out. So what do? We keep suppressing it. We keep suppressing it. Then one day, it explodes. Amen. Sometimes they will do something and we'll get upset. Sometimes you know what we do, because we're angry with them and we cannot say it out, we can be speaking to someone and we gossip about that person. We begin to say, oh, you talk about, you say, Roland, don't you mind him? He doesn't know what. We gossip about them because that's the secretive behavior which is part of being angry passively. You are suppressing it. The second thing you note with passive anger is manipulation, such as provoking people to aggression and then patronizing forgiveness. What is he talking about here? We come around, we're angry, but when we're in the presence of the person, we're all nicey-nicey. We always talk nice about them, but behind, we're busy manipulating, either to overthrow or to destroy them. But we're not saying anything, but it's deep down there. But we manipulate other people against the person we're angry with. The other thing you notice with passive anger is self-blame, such as apologizing too often, being overly critical, inviting criticism. You find that sometimes people who are angry passively will try as much as possible in your presence. This happens with a particular area from my country that I know. They will be so nice. They will apologize about things. They will even make you feel guilty. But inside, they're angry towards you. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or if you've ever come across people like that. But I didn't realize that it's part of anger until I began to read this. Another area of passive anger that you will see is when people become dispassionate, such as giving the cold shoulder or phony smiles, looking cool sitting on the fence while others are doing everything. So what do you think they do? They're angry with you. So when you begin to say things, instead of them getting involved, they're like, well, whatever you like, you say, whatever you do. Let's be truthful, I've done it before. When I'm angry with someone, you can say everything about nice about them. It's none of my business. You say something bad, I'm not going to say anything. Because inside, I'm angry towards them. Has it ever happened? I can see someone smiling. Has it ever happened to you? Oh, no. Okay, another one is evasiveness. Such as turning your back in crisis, avoiding conflict, not arguing back, becoming phobic. They say things. You just turn your back. They invite you to, they do it. You don't want to go. They do. But then you're not showing them, you're not telling them that you're angry with them. But you're not just attending anything they do. You get me? So they invite you, oh, my daughter is getting married. Oh, congratulations. Da, da, da. You go away, but you don't show up. And then they say, what's happening? Are you okay? Oh, everything is fine. But inside, you're not happy with them. You're angry with them. And, you know, when I was looking at that, I just looked at 2 Samuel 13. I don't know if any of you know this story about Absalom. When his brother laid with his sister. Let's look at 2 Samuel 13. When Hamon, how many of you remember the story? Now this story is about Hamon having invited Tamar to prepare him some food. And Tamar went and prepared Hamon some food. And Hamon has always been in love with Tamar, supposedly, more or less like lost. And then when Tamar visited him, forced Tamar, slept with Tamar, and then all of a sudden disliked her. And then asked that Tamar should be pulled out of the house, dragged out by the servants. And Tamar went and covered herself with ashes. And in verse 20, it says, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, had Amon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. Now, wait a minute. Regard not this thing. Do you want to say to me that Absalom was happy with what happened between Tamar and Amon? No, he wasn't. But he didn't say anything. He said, hold thy peace. Okay? Do not regard this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard all these things, he was very wroth. And this was where I became kind of, it shocked me, because you would have expected David as a father to have done something about it. But he didn't. But he was angry, but he did nothing about it. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amon, neither good nor bad. Amen. Did what? Didn't say anything. And that's what I was saying to you about the passive anger. And this is where passive anger is very dangerous. Because if you do not say anything, it builds up. It builds up. And then turns out to become aggressive anger. Okay. So here we see, it says, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amon because he had forced his sister Tamar. But when you look at verse 20, he said, regard not this thing. Amen. Now we go up to verse 23. It says, and it came to pass after how many years? 2 full years. That Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal-Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's son. Now here we have a man who for 2 years had put this pain in his heart. He didn't say anything. He just said, let it be. But he was for 2 years planning evil towards his brother. And that's why As we go along, you get to understand what I'm talking, because we have to, as soon as possible, get the anger out, speak it out. That's why the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. In short, do not let the sun set upon your anger for 2 good years. 2 good years. How many of you here, you don't need to put up your hands, I've been angry with people for a long time, and you've not been able to let go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Absalom came to the king, verse 24, and said, behold, now thy servant had sheep rearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him. However, he will not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. Why did he want Absalom? Why did he want Amnon to come? Amen. He's been calculative, manipulative. Amen. And then we come. 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now, when Ammon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Ammon, then kill him. Fear not, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Ammon as Absalom had commanded. Ammon was killed because Absalom had not forgiven him. There was anger suppressed inside. Amen. You know what Jesus said when he said, if we're angry towards our brother, you don't need to kill them. But inside your heart, you've already committed murder. I know there are quite a few of us who we have not forgiven so many people. There's anger still inside. Please, tonight I'm saying, let it go. Amen. You see, passive anger will now lead to aggressive anger. And the symptoms of aggressive anger are threatening, such as frightening people by saying how you could harm them, their property or their prospects. Finger pointing, fist shaking. Amen. And sometimes the clothes you see some young people wear out there actually shows their anger towards the society. You look at some young kids, the things they write on the back of their clothes. I don't know if you've seen those ones with skeleton head and what do you call it? Bones, right? What are they telling you? They're telling you that they are at war. They are at rebellion with the society. That's anger. The aggressive anger. They're not punching. They're not doing anything. But what they're wearing is saying it. There are those who are aggressively angry, and they fist. By the time they start talking with you, the way they will behave, the way the muscle will tense. And sometimes the best thing is to move away. Amen. And what we're seeing in the society today are young people, young boys and girls who are angry with their society and are ready to go out and destroy the society. It's all built up from passive anger. What they've not been able to speak out, what they've not been able to say, and it's been piling up and piling up, and now they're exploding. The second thing is hurtful, such as physical violence, verbal abuse, unfair jokes. You know, one of the things that has really shocked me, I think I was saying to the young ones one day, I said, why is it that the games you play with girls these days is punching and pushing? I never see young boys these days being, how do you call it? Gentle with young girls anymore. The other day I was at Woolwich and I saw this girl. She was standing there and this boy will go once in a while and punch her and push her. And she will, I said, what kind of a game is this? When I was young, no, let's not go there. Hallelujah. You listen to the kind of music that is being played today. Amen. Why do young people play music, or the so-called youths, play such loud music in their car and outside? You might think they're enjoying themselves, but it isn't. They're speaking to the society. They're speaking to the government. They're expressing their anger. Punishing people for deeds they are known not to have committed. Labeling others. Okay? Aggressive anger. Another thing you notice in aggressive anger is destruction. Destruction. I don't know if you've noticed it. I don't know if you take buses like I do. Young kids get into the bus. They bring out, compass. And they mark buses. They mark everything. Some go to the phone booth and destroy the phone booth. There was a day I was coming down, and this young boy went to the bus stand. And he was kicking that thing. He was going, boom, boom. And I was like, why on earth are you kicking this thing? But that is the only way he can express his anger. By being destructive. Amen. Another thing you notice in aggressive anger is bullying. Bullying. Such as threatening people, persecuting, pushing or shoving, using power to oppress, shouting, using a powerful car to force someone off the road, playing on people's weaknesses. Amen. Unjustly blaming, that's another one. They accuse other people for their own mistakes, blame people for their own feelings, making a general accusation. Another thing I've noticed is manic. They speak too fast, walking too much and expecting others to fit in, driving too fast. So you say, I don't know if you've noticed it, but sometimes you see some people with fast cars, they want to push you out of the way. And if you hoot and you say, they give you half of the peace sign. Amen. And you ask yourself, what's going on here? It's just people letting out their anger in an aggressive way. Revengeful. Such as being over punitive, refusing to forgive and forget. And we saw that with Ammon. Bringing up hurtful memories from the past. And sometimes this happens in marriages. Where someone, because you're angry with the person, and then all of a sudden, there's a small dispute, and you begin to dig into their past and begin to lash them with it. You know why you're doing that? Because you're saying, I'm hurt now, and I'm looking for a way to hurt you. And I want to look and dig into that area that I know when I say it will hurt you just as much as I'm hurting. Amen? You might look at it and say, oh, but it's not anger. It is. It is. And let's be truthful. There was a time I did that. I'm looking for something. What should I say that will hurt this person? And then you say it, bang. And then the person begins to cry. And you feel good with yourself. No. Unpredictable. Being unpredictable. 1 minute, you're hot, the next minute you're cold. Then before you know it, explosive rages over minor things. Praise the Lord. And what you then see in people who are like this is because they want to inflict harm on other people just for the sake of it. They use drink and drugs that are known to destabilize mood, and they use illogical arguments. So they come up and they argue, and you're wondering, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about now. It has nothing, but just because they are unpredictable. They are unpredictable. And as I looked through this, one of the things that really blessed me was looking at the fact that it is believed among psychologists that a combination of nature and nurture is involved in manifestation of anger. Because there was a time people were trying to ignore one side and think, no, it's probably the nurture. And some felt it was nature. But psychologists are now beginning to understand that it's both. It's how you were brought up, the environment you were brought up in. Amen? And I look at Absalom. And I look at the fact that, as I was just thinking about it, I looked at Absalom. That Absalom grew up with a father who was a man of war. And all through his life, he's probably been there, seeing his father, the way his father has dealt with people during the battle and that kind of a thing. And he's grown up to take the same step. And I look at some people, young people, who grow up in a home where the parents, when they misbehave, listen to me, I'm not against smacking. Please, hear me well. But what I'm saying is this. When your children grow up where you smack them out of anger because they've done something wrong and you have to deal with it there and then, smack them out of anger, you're going to create a spirit of anger. And so the child grows up carrying that hurt. And you tell me, how will they behave when they grow older? Or a child is in an environment where is the survival of the fittest. They grow up thinking that that's the way the world is out there. Amen. You know, the Bible actually talks about anger. And I like what this author says here. He says, amongst adherents of Christianity, causeless, excessive, or protracted anger is treated as sinful due to its treatment. And in the Sermon on the Mount, this was what Jesus was talking about. Amen. Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Sorry, I'm reading Philippians. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you also put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What is he saying here? He's saying that the passive anger and the aggressive anger, put it out of your mind. Do you understand? He's saying, whether the anger is passive, whether it's aggressive, put it out. Don't let it be there. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying about everything that I've just read to you? Okay. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Amen. So if you're not happy with someone, tell them you're not happy with them. Deal with it there and then. Rather than leave it until tomorrow. I've seen families, I've seen fathers, I've seen children who are not ready to talk with one another because there's anger there. And you're trying as much as possible to settle the issue, to settle the matter. They won't allow you because there is anger. And I've seen people, I've seen marriages destroyed. I've seen lives destroyed because of anger. Amen. Do you know, this is amazing. Do you know that in Islam, anger is seen as a sign of weakness? And that's when I saw this, I was shocked. Because when I looked at their attitude towards other people, and I look at what Muhammad himself says, this is what he says. The strong is not the one who overcomes the people by his strength. But the strong is the one who controls himself while in anger. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, if you're slapped on the left, turn the right. That's why when someone went to Jesus and said, how many times should my brother offend me? He said, is it seven times? He said, no. How many times? How many times? In a year. In a month. In a week. In a day. Isn't it amazing? You know, that scripture is one of the things that always set me free. Let me tell you why it sets me free. When I feel God is angry with me, or God is not happy with me, and I say, Father God, Jesus said, it's 70 times, seven times in a day. So I know that you've forgiven me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the Gospel of John, verse 2, 13 to 16. Yes. Are we there? Are we all there? Amen. He says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Then said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now let me ask you a question. Was Jesus angry? He was. Amen. Jesus was angry. Okay. But this is what you refer to as a righteous anger. Amen. A righteous anger. There is a place for righteous anger. And righteous anger is when things are being done against the word of God. But it does not mean that you destroy, you kill. It means that you can stand up and say what you're doing is wrong. It's not saying that you shouldn't love the person. It's not saying that you should take revenge. Am I making sense? We've got to learn to let go. We've got to learn to let go, because if we don't, it will create that aggressive anger. And no matter how much you pray, listen to me, please. If we do not let go, if we do not forgive, it will hinder our prayers. Read what the Word of God says in the book of Peter to husbands. He says, live with your wives with an understanding. Amen. So if my wife misbehaves, I have to live with understanding. I say, yeah, that's the way she is. No. But what the Bible is saying is understand them.
that they are the weaker sex. And I believe it's the same thing we should understand, that when people do the things they do, it's because they know no better. And then he goes on to say, so that our prayers will not be hindered. Amen. So that our prayers will not be hindered. It's not that I don't get angry. Seriously, I do. But one of the things that God has helped me to do, and I'm still doing it, and it's not that I've perfected it, I'll go quickly to someone and say, look, I'm sorry. Or I take my own heart to God and I say, God, deal with my heart. We shouldn't put too much expectations on people, because they will disappoint you. Amen. They will disappoint you. That's why I like the book, 1 Minute Manager. It says, catch people doing the right things. Help them to get to the next level. Do you know when Peter denied Jesus? Don't you think that should have called for revenge or anger? I don't know, I'm just saying in the human terms. But Jesus still looked for Peter, went back to him, and still loved him. I said, Peter, do you love me more than this? And Peter said, yes. If I'm to use the Greek word, Jesus said to Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, I filio you. Amen. And then Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you agape me? And he said, Lord, I filio you. But Jesus did not leave him there until Peter got to the point where he said, Lord, you know whether I love you or not. And guess what Jesus did? Feed my sheep. You know why? Because he had nothing against Peter. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that included Peter. And that included you and I. Amen. And that's why we must learn to forgive people and let go. The only thing, let's be truthful, that creates that sense of anger is because we're frustrated with the way people are behaving. Because our heart is hardened. When Jesus said to the disciples, when Jesus said in the book of Mark 4, he said, the only reason why Moses gave you that law to divorce was because of the hardness of your heart. For in the beginning, it was not so. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.